Okay, everybody, welcome along to episode 8 of the Wild Swinging Time podcast with my dog and my buddy Mike MacDonald sitting up there looking cut and ripped in Chiang Mai.
Cut and ripped and fucking small, man. I feel tiny today, man. Carving up needs to be happening. I fucking looked at myself in the mirror. I was looking good this morning, but this weight cut, I didn't have too many starches yesterday, man. It was so hot, I couldn't stomach eating more food. And I just couldn't do it. It's like I had a few calories left, and I was going to eat some potatoes, but I just couldn't fucking get it in. So I paid for it today.
Wow. So, I mean,
looking small in the mirror, no glycogen in my muscles, so that won't happen again. Fucking. Wow. That was a nice little reminder when I looked up of why I have my carbs at night, because I like looking good in the morning.
Mike nerding out on us here with his nutritional shit. I mean, I don't even know what glycogen is. Can you fill me in on that?
Muscle glycogen. It's like, you know, when you go to the gym, you use your muscle glycogen. So you have to carb up to give yourself more glycogen. So you got glycogen in like fructose and fruits, and then in your starchy carbs. So for your complex carbohydrates, so they're still digesting. So, yeah. You get your fruit right after your workout for your sugar for like fast absorption to get your insulin level up a little bit, to shoot the nutrients to your muscle, get some glycogen back, and then you have your carbs to fill them up. But I didn't. I had vegetables and I had the fruit, but it just doesn't have the same effect as like sweet potato does, or like
I love sweet potato.
And you look nice and full after eating sweet potatoes the next day, man. You wake up and it's just like a. So you ever hear of the cottage cheese thing, the bodybuilders back in the day? And it does work, because it's a slow release protein. So if you have cottage cheese, if you like cottage cheese, you can have it like before you go to bed.
I love cottage cheese.
It's a really, really, really good protein to have before bedtime, because it's very, very slow digesting. So while you're sleeping, it digests very slowly, so you get a steady stream of protein while you're sleeping.
Wow.
And when you wake up, you normally look, you know, bam, you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta be careful with cheese, though. You know, cheese can give you nightmares.
Cheese can give you nightmares. I don't know. I don't get nightmares, man, ever. Never got one in my life, I don't think.
But because it's such a slow digest food,
yeah,
it can, you know, the nightmares are a manifestation of, you know, poor digestion. So if you eat cheese an hour beforehand, like thick cheddar cheese, I think is a bad one.
Oh, yeah. I would definitely not recommend somebody to have like brick cheese.
Yeah,
it would have to be like cottage cheese, or you know, maybe some like if you have yogurt, have the high fat yogurt, like the full fat Greek yogurt, the natural stuff.
Oh,
if you're gonna
speaking of yogurt, I watched your video on a healthy burrito, Greek yogurt, my friend, instead of mayonnaise. I love that.
Oh man, it's proper.
That looks
man.
So fucking. I love Greek yogurt. I never thought about putting it into a burrito.
Ah, it's proper good, man. It's proper good. I only like avocados, but I can't find good avocados here in Chiang Mai. Well, okay, I'm lying to you. I can find them at Rimping at 127 baht an avocado, but I'm not paying $4 for an avocado. Like, that's just not paying it. Like, there's being ripped off, and then there's somebody bending me over the counter giving it to me, you know? Like, I'm not doing it. And the market where I go, it's like 50-50 if they have them. When they have them, I buy them. But most of the time, yeah, I don't use anything. I just use the Greek yogurt. And I buy the natural stuff, like the pot set stuff, and it's good. I love me some Greek yogurt. So.
Yeah, me too, man. So how was your fast? You were like fasting on Sunday, weren't you?
Yeah, I did the 24-hour fast just so I can have more calories today and tomorrow. So yesterday I wasn't working out, so I still kept my calories low. Even though I just finished fasting, I wasn't working out again yesterday. So I went for a walk, but nothing crazy. But today I ate like a fucking savage, and I'm gonna work out for this podcast, and I have a meal ready. Like, I have some sweet potato baked, like, ready to go. I got fucking Greek yogurt to put on them cocksuckers, and I don't know what I'm gonna have with them, but there's gonna be a massive amount of sweet potatoes, and I don't know what kind of protein I'm gonna throw in there, man. To be honest, I can't really stomach the meat in this heat. I'm having problems getting the meat down with the 44 degrees.
Yeah.
So I might have to just be like a fully carb meal with like a protein shake just to get the protein in. But even at that, if I have oats or something like that, oats have a good amount of protein. I know they're not like a full branch chain protein, but like they're okay. And I bought this hemp is really good. I bought this hemp protein. So I might just have a scoop of that and then just eat a shitload of like fucking sweet potato and whatever else, Greek yogurt, some fruits, like
cool.
Yeah.
Yo. Stop the post. Stop the post. I'm joking, but I'm going to kind of go a bit narcissistic on social media. I don't know. This might sound a bit lame, but I just got a retweet, which is pretty cool, from Renzo Gracie. Nate Diaz's BJJ trainer.
You got a retweet from Renzo Gracie.
He's got 200,000 followers, man. And it comes down to reading and knowledge and passion for reading.
Yeah.
So I was watching him on the MMA Hour last night. You know, Ariel Helwani's MMA Hour. I love that show.
Yeah.
And he was on. And so he appeared via Skype with a big book library behind him. And Ariel Helwani's like... Oh, so is that bookshelf? I've actually read those books. I've read every single one of those books. So he's one of these, like, philosophical...
What books were
you... You know, he's an effusive... So Ariel Helwani asked him for his favorite book. And I couldn't believe when he said this, because I've never met anyone who read this book. And it's such a good, amazing historical account of society. It's called Guns, Germs, and Steel by Jared Diamond. Have you heard of it?
No. I should read that then.
Man, it's fucking amazing. It's a tour de force. It basically explains the world, okay? So it explains how those three elements, guns and germs, so sickness and illness, and steel, so industry, have formed society. And so I tweeted him. I was like, wow, Guns, Germs, and Steel. I can't believe you dropped that on the MMA. Or what a great book. So he retweeted me, and we've been like back and forth with another suggestion of a great book by Steven Pinker called, probably the most important book I've ever read in my life, The Better Angels of Our Nature, Why Violence Has Declined. So that's another book that deals with, you know, the formation of society. But Guns, Germs, and Steel is just mind-blowing because... So... I'll give you one question. From Israel to Ireland, okay, that geographical latitude, Jared Diamond refers to that as the Fertile Crescent, okay? And he explains that the temperature and the climate at that geographical latitude was what allowed and what was conducive to industry and the production of gunpowder, okay? So, if you were to ask, like, the white man conquered the South Americas and the Americas and Africa, I would be worried of what his reply would be when Jared Diamond scientifically proves that it was really just down to what's called geographic determinism. So the look being born in an area that had to allow them, that area of the world, produce those goods and create those advantages ahead of the rest of the world.
Yeah.
So when that meant that when Spain went to South America, like 50 men, his name was Pizarro, they had like 50 or 60 men, obviously they don't have the exact number, to the Aztecs, you know, like 100, this massive civilization, but who didn't yet have the sophistication of gunpowder, and they were afraid of these men on horses, of these 50 men on horses, you know. It was just down to sheer look, geographical look, you know. So that book is just amazing. It teaches you all about how the world came to be, you know. It's fucking amazing. So it was pretty cool to see him mentioning that on the MMA, and to get a retweet from him was pretty nice.
That's proper good, man. That's a good retweet.
That's probably my finest hour. I'm getting a few notifications right now as we speak. He seems like a cool guy, man. Like, you know, he's the Diaz brothers BJJ trainer. And which, this is totally serendipitous, or this is quite lucky, because this actually comes onto our show today, because we're going to be talking about UFC. And that's totally coincidental. So, yeah, I mean, no, let's move on to that. Let's move on to that.
I paid him to retweet you, so it's okay. It wasn't a coincidence. I gave him some money, you know, on the side.
That topic, so... Yeah. I paid him off. Yeah. No, I screen grabbed. I faked those tweets. So what do you think about UFC 200 and McGregor's decision to rematch with Diaz? Here's the key. You've possibly seen my video, which has kind of gone a little bit viral. I'm only joking. So he's going to do it at 170 pounds. What do you think of that?
I think it's retarded.
Okay.
No, I really do, man. I think we've seen it.
No, I know your feelings on this, because we talked about this already on our episode with Paul Dollery, so, you know, but, I know your feelings.
At the same time, like, I think we've seen McGregor on the ground, and who was it that submitted him before Diaz? Did he had another fight that he lost by submission about a year ago?
Actually, his two submissions prior to that were at amateur level in Ireland. So before the UFC, he lost to. So he was unbeaten in the UFC.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're right. And
the Diaz fight. But these two submissions were really, really easy submissions as well, you know?
And I only have basic BJJ because I used to wrestle, I used to train with the guys. The first thing they always tell you, you know, when somebody's on top of you, you grab the wrist, you pull them down, you know, or you grab the head. And, like, I rewatched that fight before we did this podcast, and nowhere in there is he, like, even trying to defend Diaz mounting him. He has no skill on the ground. He doesn't know where to put his legs when somebody mounts him. It'd be like, fuck, you and I could have probably done a better job at keeping him off us. Like, you know, like, obviously not, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, it just seems to me, like, on the ground is... And you're not going to catch up to a BJJ black belt in a month.
It's interesting. You think the first thing you said is his lack of BJJ skills, where, you know, I would come at it, although he lost by submission, I would come at it from the point of view of just the size standing up already. I just think he's too small for welterweight.
Yeah,
you know?
I think so too. I think that's where the BJJ will hurt him too, because when you're on the ground, even just wrestling or grappling with somebody who is your size is draining. If you have to try to move somebody around that's better than you and outweighs you by 20 pounds, it's insane, man. And I think, I think he did good standing up, but like you said in your vlog, he wasn't hurting him. He was tagging him, but he wasn't hurting him to the point that he got slapped like 4 times. Like, I think the UFC at this point, I know it's their man, and I know they kind of want to let him do like whatever he wants because he's, you know, the big name of the company. But I think when he said I want the rematch, like, somebody should have said like, "Lo, you got to fight at featherweight one more. You got to go down, think about it, get one fight under your belt before you go up, before you do this again." And I know it's probably very ego driven, but I just don't see it as a good. You know what? If he comes out and he wins, good for him. Because fucking balls of steel, but I just don't see it happening.
And pardon the pun about getting wins under his belt, because actually, if he goes and fights at welterweight, you know, does he still have the right to keep that featherweight division waiting? Can he hold up a belt for 2 fights? I mean, at that point, it becomes a bit ridiculous, doesn't it? For him still to call himself the featherweight champ, if he's up there...
Fighting dudes at 170 all the time, yeah. And the thing is, now having seen his skills against Diaz, like... Does he beat Dos Anjos at 155? That guy's a beast on the ground. Like, is the game plan? Yeah, yeah. Like, is there? Is the blueprint set? You know, like, if you're a really, really good jiu-jitsu guy and you're heavier, do you know how to beat Conor McGregor? Like, is there a blueprint now, give or take? You know, like.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really make this clear enough in my vlog, but I definitely gave him a good chance at 155. I think the weight is really. I think that's the key differential here. Like, if they come down to 155, so obviously McGregor has huge experience at lightweight and he's a natural lightweight, then he has a much better chance of knocking him out by sheer physics, because Diaz will be at a lighter frame and he'll be easier to knock out. That's how these things work.
Yeah.
But with him up at a higher frame, it also takes you from McGregor's... I was clear on that in the vlog, that I just think it slowed him down to be carrying that much muscle mass.
I think it did too. He looked winded. And I remember you saying about the rings and stuff, when he was doing the rings, he looked a bit winded. And even in the fight, you know, I thought about that, and he did look a bit winded. But I always think about, like, back in the day when Lennox Lewis was fighting, and when guys would come up weight, and when he was, you know, Lennox Lewis, when he was the world champion of boxing, he used to always say, like, people come up, and the reason they don't win a lot of times is because the bigger guy, you're used to getting hit by bigger men. And then you're all of a sudden you're somebody who's used to getting to, like, you know, 20 or 30 pounds smaller, fighting at 2 weight classes down, comes up and they hit you.
Mm.
I mean, he's a great striker, but it just, when you're used to getting hit by bigger, stronger men, and then all of a sudden you get tagged by somebody who's not, you know, like, but McGregor's got some power. He could, you know, he could still win. I mean, obviously he's a talented dude. He could win it. But I just think now, like, the game plan for Diaz is just get him on the ground.
Yeah, but I mean, just look at McGregor's Instagram post on it. He wrote, he showed a picture of the fight and he said, "It was a good knock. Enjoy it while it lasts." But I was thinking to myself, which knock? Because
he didn't just knock him, he slapped him.
He slapped him, and I mean, he got so many convincing punches on him. And what was the other thing I was going to say there is that...
And the punches hurt. They hurt. Like, you can tell.
Yeah, yes.
Like, they weren't just getting in. They were good. Like, he was sore from getting hit.
Yeah, yeah. There's that one punch, that one that changed the game, where McGregor went, shit, you know, and he was rocked back, and that was the turning point of the fight, without question. I just don't see why he would do it at 170. Yeah, it's probably for alpha male bravado to say, I'll do it on your terms again, but it wouldn't be like he'd be losing face to do it at 155, you know? He's still taking on the same fighter.
He wouldn't be losing face. He wouldn't be losing face at all if he just said, I don't want to fight at 170.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not that big.
There's no shame. Like, you tried it. Nobody would be like, but now if he loses again, everybody's going to be like, well, you know, like, really, man? Like, what do you do now? Because at that point, he almost has to go back to 145. You can't go 155. You have to defend your belt if he loses. To be honest, even if he wins, you have to go back down and defend your belt or let it go. Like, because somebody at 145 is going to want to get a chance.
All right. After that, I'm going to introduce this topic. I think it's time we bring on our glorified MMA correspondent at this stage, Mike St. Clair. I'm going to bring him on now to talk more in depth about this and get his expertise on the matter.
Let's get Big Mike on there.
So dial him up here.
Yeah.
Mike.
Big Mike, what's going on?
How you doing?
Good, Mike. How are you, my friend?
Not too bad. Tired from teaching class, but not too bad.
Cool, cool. You had a cardio class, had you?
Yeah.
Cool. All right, man, why don't we get straight into it today? So just introduce yourself. So, I mean, Mike is like our MMA correspondent, UFC correspondent at this stage. It's great to have him on every time to give us his expertise and knowledge on all things MMA. So, Mike, today we're talking about UFC 200 and, in particular, McGregor's decision to take on Diaz. Oh, his call just dropped. He's gone. I have to call him back.
He didn't like being called an expert. He was like, fuck you.
He had the orange symbol as soon as we called him. So
introduce me properly or don't have me on.
Get it right, bitch. Get it right. All right.
That's good.
Okay.
It's funny because if I hadn't seen pictures of Mike, I can tell by his voice, I would think that he is like some massive individual, and he's not a small guy by any means of the imagination, but he's got the voice of a giant.
The voice is epic.
It's like baritone, Andre the Giant, and like you know, what was that movie that he was in? Princess Bride, you know?
Princess Bride, yeah.
Fuck, I just aged myself on that one.
Imagine with that voice.
You, sir, are old.
Imagine with that voice, like, Mike was just some weedy little guy when you met him on the street, you know?
Funny, wasn't he? That's just good. Yeah. If you have a voice like that, you have to be a big dude. And he's a big dude, thank Christ, because...
Yeah.
It just doesn't fit, because it becomes the opposite of, like, the Mike Tysons. Which Mike Tyson, due to his voice, probably had to get big. He was probably like, fuck this.
Yeah.
I gotta be big with a voice like this.
The call has failed again. Oh, shit. All right. Go one more time.
Do you do a good impression of Mike? Because I can just go through you if you want. You can channel him vicariously.
Well, all right, we can give that a try. I'll do my best impression, right? The first time I met him, sir, I had him down for a U.S. Marine, sir, because he speaks in very perfect, succinct sentences, and I really admire that voice.
Yeah, until he throws you off a boat in the water.
No, seriously, because when he came out into the camp, you know, the camp was full of just, you know, guys like me, smaller guys who are out learning Muay Thai, and this beast comes into the gym and says, I will be starting a combat 360 class tomorrow morning at 800 hours. I expect you all there. We're like,
800 hours? You rocked the 800 hours.
That's no, cool. I added that in. All right. I just got him on Facebook here. He's
having Skype issues.
Yeah.
You shaved the beard. Your camera's really clear right now. I can see that you don't have a beard rocking.
Yeah, I went for the clean tash again, man. The beard was...
It gets itchy, doesn't it?
The beard was purely an experiment just to see what... Not that it got itchy, but I started to look like a bit of a wild beast, you know?
Yeah.
And, man, I shaved it on Sunday night, and it was almost like... There's this Japanese author, Harakumi, I think his name is, who said, every shave is a philosophy. And it felt good. I feel like I grew it to shave it, you know, to come back to this, to feel the effect of the clean face again with the tash. It was like, it's a thrilling feel to see the tash clean again.
Yeah.
And because the tash kind of gets lost in the beard, you know, so it's nice to get it back. And yeah, this is definitely the look I'm going to keep now for a while.
Yeah.
We'll meet again. We'll meet again, me and the beard boy. I'm
gonna, not for now. Not for now. Give it a... Yeah, that's how I feel about my nuts when I shave them. I think it makes the rest of the top look proper and nice, you know? I shave a little mustache into the top of my...
There really is nothing like freshly shorn scrotum. It's breathtaking. I suggest you try it. Dr. Evil.
I just think Mike shows up when you say that. He'd be like... What happened while I left? Like, where did you guys go off?
You know that Dr. Evil call? I love
that.
Yeah,
yeah. That movie was so... Whatever happened to Mike Myers? Did he do anything after those movies? Or was all shit, probably?
I don't know. He kind of went off the radar, but that scene where they're sitting around, like, what is it, a parental counseling meeting?
Yeah.
And Scott's like, he's trying to fucking kill me. The guy's fucking insane. And then the psychiatrist is like, calm down, Scott. That's not how we speak here. And Doctor, no, it's quite true. Actually, I am trying to kill him.
That movie when it came out was so good, man. It was so good.
Yeah, the first one was brilliant.
I've not seen Absolutely the. Brilliant. I think I saw the second one, and did they make a third one?
Third one was Goldmember. Yeah, Beyonce.
Oh yeah,
was
yeah. I didn't see that.
All right, we got Mike back on the line.
At least for now. Hopefully for a while.
Okay. All right, so yeah, we got Mike, our glorified MMA correspondent out there in Kowloon, with his as a BJJ and MMA trainer in Kowloon, Thailand. Yeah. Today we're talking about UFC 200, Mike. So it was great to get you on again and get your thoughts on a couple of the key things going on there. First of all, we're talking about McGregor and Nate Diaz's rematch. So what do you think about McGregor's decision to go back up to 170? Is it foolhardy or is it brave?
I think it's a weird one. I don't really know one. I'm not sure who really wants to see that fight happen again.
Exactly.
All right. So, well, speaking of that, Tim, what did you? We've already done an episode breakdown on the fight. So, what did you think of the fight and what's your analysis of it? First fight.
Well, I don't know. McGregor came out okay, but you know, I he did land some okay shots in there, but I just don't think he has. One, Diaz is tough as anything. I mean, like, you can hit him with, I don't know, you could probably hit him with a sledgehammer or something. He'll still stand there and keep trying to throw at you.
Yeah.
And I just think McGregor wore himself out. He's not used to fighting at that weight. He's not used to carrying that much weight around. I think he kind of tired out very quickly.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's used to getting hit with the power of people at that weight. And I think it all just took its toll on him in the end.
So
I don't see a rematch really going any differently, I mean, unless he happens to get lucky, and it could happen. But
yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, what is he going to do? Is he going to go to fight at 170 again? Do you think he's going to go up in weight to, say, like, to try to walk around for the next few months at, like, 185 and cut to 170? Or is he going to stay at the normal weight? Because one thing I think is really interesting to highlight, and it was mentioned on this really cool website, boz.ie, and I also then cited it in my vlog, because to come out at your natural weight, when he came out onto the scales, he looked like a bodybuilder, and it was like it was too easy. And you, someone who's as a fighter yourself, do you think you kind of need to cut weight to get into that rabid, manic fighter mode? It looked too easy to just be at your normal weight. And do you get what I'm saying there?
Yeah, except I think you got to remember, too, that Diaz was very close to his normal weight, too, because Diaz normally fights lightweight.
That's true. That is true.
So if it was going to affect him, it should have affected both of them evenly, and probably more so the guy that only trained for, like, 10 days for fight.
Yeah, that is true. Just that prior to that, McGregor had been coming out, like, this guy, like just an animal who'd been released from a dungeon to storm the Bastille or something. And, you know, he just looked so crazy and deranged at those featherweight fights that, yes, it looked a bit, it looked bad aesthetically, but then when he came into the fight, he channeled that anger into the fight. And I felt he didn't come out with anger. He came out like kind of showing off, and like it was as if Diaz was just some sacrificial lamb. So
I think that's what he thought, because I mean that's how all the odds were as well for whatever reason,
which is crazy in retrospect.
For whatever reason, everybody thought that he was just going to walk right through him and it was going to be no problem. Because I guess, no, like, to be fair, nobody, I don't want to say nobody rates Diaz that highly, because that's not a really nice thing to say, and he's a well respected fighter, he's a very good fighter, but he's not the top of his weight division.
Yes.
So he was kind of a mid-level kind of a replacement going in there, and I guess everyone thought that McGregor should just walk through a guy of that level.
Yeah, I mean, so do you think reach, the height and reach was the big key, or just BJJ skills, or a bit of both?
I definitely don't think it was BJJ skills, because he got outboxed.
Wow. Yeah.
And in the end, I agree with Diaz that it was his boxing that set up the submission. And, you know, McGregor even kind of asked for that submission. He kind of went for something crazy, shot for something for God knows why reason. Because he wasn't doing well enough standing up. And he put himself in the position to be submitted, almost like he wanted out of that fight.
Yeah, I agree. I think that was basically just to say, I don't want to be knocked out here. This is the lesser of two evils. Actually, speaking of submission, I have a quick, interesting question to bring up, because I was watching the MMA era last night, and Nate Diaz's BJJ trainer, Renzo Gracie, was on, who I just got retweeted by. I might just throw that in there.
humble brag.
Narcissistic social media brag right there. But come on, that was my finest hour. I had to throw that in. And I don't know where you stand on the whole... submitting makes you a pussy, or sorry, tapping out makes you a pussy, because that was the big debate on the night, because Holly Holm in the previous fight
just passed out.
Yeah, she passed out, right? And so McGregor tapped out, and McGregor had said of his previous two tap outs, I will never do that again, I will have to die before you make me tap out, because in the Irish promotions he fought at, he was twice tapped out very easily. So obviously it's easy to say that, but when you're getting your conscious, you're being squeezed out, that no longer, rational thought no longer matters or counts. But just, I know this is a long question, but so Gracie, coach Renzo Gracie just now said, actually, by not tapping out, it's a sign of respect to your opponent. So he's going for this like samurai type thing of, yes, it's better to not tap out. That means you're honoring your opponent. And so he was basically kind of mocking McGregor there. So what do you think? Where do you stand on tapping out?
We're talking solely about the choke here, right? Like not any tap out. Because obviously if it's an armbar, you can like rip your arm, you're out for a year, you know? Like, you choke, you go to sleep for a little bit, you wake up, you just felt like you went to bed. But if you like don't tap on a knee bar, well, you're fucked. Like... probably the rest of your life, you know? There's no shame in that.
So, I mean, there's being a man and being tough, but, you know, to a point, you know, you got to live to fight another day, you know?
You hope you wake up if you pass out from the choke anyway.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, but I think it's acceptable if you... To me, I don't care. I mean, I don't really care if the guy taps or not, but I just think if we're talking only about the choke, yeah, maybe let the guy... make you pass out. I don't see too much wrong with that. But like, if it's my shoulder, I mean, like, no, I'll be tapping like a bitch. Like, yeah. Let it go.
I have tremendous respect for Renzo Gracie and what he says. But I don't know. I've waited too long to tap a few times to things, and in hindsight, I wish I'd tapped sooner.
Yeah, I mean,
because it's not worth the injuries, and you know, in the end, I don't know if you know you're about to pass out, and you know you're not getting out of that, why not choke? Why not tap? You know?
I'm on your side with that one. I don't see a problem, and especially if it was like a member of the body where you know you make your living doing that, and like you don't want to be out for a year because you were fucking stupid and let somebody pop your elbow or rip your arm apart or.
You know, yeah, just to look tough.
I mean, no, I don't know.
You won't look so tough in the hospital for the next, 3 months when you're doing your rehabilitation and you can't.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
and again, you hope you wake up when, like, after you pass out from a choke too. But what if the ref hadn't seen it?
Yeah, exactly.
I've been at fights where guys have passed it out where the ref hasn't noticed it for 20, 30 seconds afterwards, even though everyone's screaming, "Hey, the guy's out." I wouldn't want to put that decision in somebody else's hands.
Yeah, and I know you were just joking there, Mikey Mac up there about you go to a nice little sleep, but obviously,
yeah,
talking serious about it, you can cause minor brain damage.
No, exactly. It's a serious thing. I mean, there's no shame in tapping, especially because look at it now. He can fight again at UFC 200. There's no issues. Like, who knows? Like Mike said, who knows if he doesn't tap? Like, is he fighting again? And I don't know the UFC rules. I know they have a lot of like weird things for concussions and stuff. Like, is when you get passed out, if you decide to like just go to sleep, do you have to be out longer? Is there like a, because there's protocol for these things. There are athletic commissions. Like,
yeah,
like, I don't know.
There'd be a medical check on that. I'm not aware of there being a mandatory timeout for that, but
maybe something. But I don't see a problem with it. I don't think there's a. He's not a Gracie. He's not a Brazilian. Maybe they look at it as a sign of respect, but it's...
Yeah, maybe it's a cultural thing with the
Maybe
beginning.
It's a cultural thing. Like, maybe he's like, nah, I think I'd rather get paid again. Like...
Hoist Gracie tapped to Matt Hughes in the end.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got to say, I've never been in that choke position, but is your thought that rational? It's like a three-second less split decision. Are you really going to rationally say, will I tap or not? I mean, is the squeeze not that tight that it's just you're forced to tap? Are your thoughts going to be that clear where you're going to be weighing the thing up for like a couple of seconds?
Well, you know when you're going out.
Holly Holm was still fighting. Holly Holm was still fighting and she was still trying to get out of it right up until the last seconds.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, that is different because she was winning that fight where McGregor was already
beaten. What a heartbreak.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a heartbreak.
So yeah, I think they're quite different circumstances.
They were
in those fights.
Yeah, we should definitely point that out. Yeah.
It's not fair to compare the two in terms of one tapped and one didn't.
Yeah, it's not that bad. So I just saw the comment you left on my vlog that you think it's kind of Dinero Habla, you think money talks with this rematch. You think if it was down do you think if it was down to McGregor he would prefer to do featherweight, but he felt obliged because there were actually, I don't know if you guys saw the rumors, like 10 days before this semi-announcement came from Ariel Helwani, the rumors were lurking that he'd rejected a rematch, so.
Yeah, I'd seen that as well. I mean, I don't know how firm this matchup even really is because I know they're both kind of talking about it, but I don't think it's actually been officially confirmed yet because Diaz is still saying he wants it at lightweight. He doesn't want it at welterweight.
I saw that he was on Fox over the weekend, and he was saying that actually there was a little video that came out from the break that wasn't supposed to be seen. Michael Bisping was the presenter, and they were having a private chat, and they were like, yeah, like McGregor's just going to use that as an excuse again. That it was a leaked video. Did you see that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I agree too. Not even McGregor will use it as an excuse. Everyone else will use it as an excuse.
Yeah.
I'd rather see it happen lightweight, and I still think it'll happen the exact same way.
Okay. I mean, I would give him a 20-25% higher, 30% higher at lightweight, because basically, I think that reduces Diaz's weight and hence increases the knockout ability, and then I think it's better for McGregor's cardio and it's more conducive to the style that we've seen in featherweight, where he's footloose, where he's got his swinging accurate kicks, which was lost in welterweight. Because he got sloppy and he looked slow and plodding on his feet, so that's what I think.
I agree, but I'm also not sure that he's used to dealing with somebody that's tall. True. Like most of the guys he fights are kind of midget-like in comparison to him.
who you fought? Who are your training partners? You fought midgets. Just fought midgets.
Actually, did you hear Diaz at the post fight? He was like, it was a patronizing little comment about McGregor that almost got lost. He's a good little hitter. He's a good little hitter. Like he's a little leprechaun or something.
Talk about a fucking insult, though. Like he's a good little hitter.
All right, so are we unanimous on a Diaz win if this is at welterweight?
I think yeah, he has wins it. I just think the ground skills, I think the game plan's there. I don't think he'll match up to the ground skills. I just don't. Like, I don't really want to see the fight, to be honest. If it's at welterweight, it'll be more interesting because it'll add a different aspect for me to watch it at. But sorry, not at
you mean lightweight.
At lightweight, yeah.
Lightweight.
I think it'll add a little something more for me to want to watch it. But if it's at welterweight again, I'll watch it. But, like, there's no...
Yeah.
I just, like, I'm kind of like you guys. I just think it's going to happen the same way again. I just don't see it changing. It'll be a different way or something, maybe, like, a different submission. Maybe it'll be a knockout, but I don't see him.
It was certainly don't want to see that as a fight for UFC 200.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, when they're trying to build that as, like, the biggest card ever and shit. I don't think that's the fight for that.
Yeah, another novelty fight without any belt.
I'd rather see McGregor go back down and fight, like, Frankie Edgar or something. I think that's more interesting to me as a fight than, like, as pure entertainment. I think that's
I would, yeah.
Yeah,
and then if he loses two fights, you know, in a row, he's completely out of the lightweight question. Then, and he, you know, it's a massive blow to the legacy, to the image, and everything to lose two in a row. Albeit, there'll be the excuse of 170. So, I think it's foolhardy, yeah, to do it at 170.
Yeah, right, but what happens if he wins? Like, say he wins this.
You all right?
Good
question.
What happens? Like,
nothing interesting happens at all.
Because he can't fight at 170. He can't fight at 170.
Like, yeah, I mean, let's say he was to win. It's going to be a narrow win, all right? If he were to win, he could knock him out,
yeah.
You know. But,
even if he wins the decision.
All he'd be doing is proving a rematch point. It wouldn't put him into contention to fight, like, Lawler up for a title or anything like that. He would still get smoked in a title.
All it does is make people money. That's really all it's about.
And then, like,
they were like, we made a lot of money on the last one. We'll make a lot of money on this one.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Let's put that together. He's got nothing to lose because he doesn't lose his belt.
He's got like 6 months. So that'll be like the bulk of 2016 dedicated to novelty fights.
Yeah.
170. You know,
and he should be defending his title if he wants to, or they should strip him with that belt and get somebody else to fight for it. You shouldn't be able to hold it. You shouldn't be able to hold a belt and then not
fight that division.
Yeah, I mean,
keep the whole. Yeah, exactly. Keep the whole of that division waiting around while you decide what the hell it is you're doing with.
Yeah, he's up there fighting a welterweight. Yeah, guys, we'll be back. We'll be back in a few years. You fight amongst each other. Yeah, I mean, that was all right for one fight, but two is taking the piss.
Let's hope it's not a narrow win, though, because I don't want to be like UFC 206, like Diaz McGregor 3, like. Fucking just shoot me.
Well, we can redo this podcast again.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Why don't we move quickly on to another fight that's coming up? John Bones Jones and Daniel Cormier.
That one I'm
the lightweight title. I just watched it was posted as a free fight on MMA Fighting there recently, so I watched it back, the first fight. How do you see this one, the second one going, Mike St. Clair?
Much like the first one.
Okay.
Maybe worse for Cormier. I'd like to think he's improved, and then he's going to be a lot better. And I'd like to think there's ring rust for John Jones, but something in me just tells me that guy's going to whip out something spectacular.
And Jones has beefed up. He's beefed up those chicken legs. Oh, his legs were so skinny enough back then.
It's true, and I just think he's hungry. No, I think he's hungry. He's hungry for
that. He's wearing like a. Kind of Muay Thai shirt, cut on the side. It looked like a skirt in that fight. The long, skinny legs is like aesthetically, he wasn't on point, you know.
Ladyboy
Jones. I didn't think he was wearing a skirt.
What was that about? Was shorts on the side, all dainty look.
Yeah. I like John Bones Jones, man. I want him to win. I think he's one of the best fighters to ever fight that division, man. I really like him. He's entertaining. Those guys, man. Like, I just want to see them fight. I don't care if he wins or loses. I want to see him win because I want to see more of him. Same with Anderson Silva. You know, those types of guys, I just want to see them keep winning so I can keep see them fighting, you know? Like,
yeah, I'm not the biggest fan. I just hope he doesn't bring out his eye poke, which is basically used as a Machiavellian tactic. keep the guy at bay for the first rounds. Poke him in the eye so he's blind and then start fighting.
You're not
cheating. It's a Filipino dirty boxing tactic.
Yeah, yeah. If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
They teach you that.
yeah. Let's see if Cormier slams him. Did you see how he slammed, was it Gustafsson? Sorry if I get his name wrong.
Gustafsson, yeah.
Gustafsson, is that his name?
It was good, Gustafsson.
Yeah, he's like 6'11" or something, and Cormier's like 5'10". That was an amazing sight to see when he picked him up and body slammed him.
Yeah, his wrestling is amazing. Like again, like I like Cormier a lot. I want him to win. I just very much like he won. But I mean, to be fair, the first time around, I think he did a lot better than I was expecting him to. So if he's upped his game a little bit or a lot, you know, and you know, being champion does that to you. You know, maybe he's gonna pull something off this time. I just think this guy, like John Bones Jones, is one of those guys. Like every once in a while, guys is just really special.
Yeah,
they don't even necessarily need to train harder than anybody else. They just have a relaxed nature when they fight in the cage, and something about being relaxed like that helps you to see things better than and think a little bit faster than everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, again, you saw it with Anderson Silva, guys like GSP as well. You know, every once in a while, you just get a guy like that. And
yeah,
that's not to say those guys don't train hard, because they do, but there's just something that brings them to another level.
And he's looking zen now that he's detoxed and off the crazy stuff.
Yeah,
he's speaking really well. He's talking about being an inspiration to kids and people from disadvantaged backgrounds and things like that. So, you know,
well, he was yelling at the cops yesterday. I don't know if you saw that.
I saw that. Yeah, but I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, they did try to accuse him of drag racing, and I didn't think he lost it too much. Have you seen the video?
I'd have been pissed.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I saw this amazing interview with Helwani where you know they walked through his town in Albuquerque, and he was saying, like, in previous title fights, he was, like, drunk off his ass, you know, and he was still with him. So let's see him completely sober. He's going to be a beast.
Unless he needs that to be relaxed.
Well, yeah, it could be a vice, yeah. He's got the weights, and, you know, he's smashing the weights up, so that's his new vice by the looks of it.
What do you guys think of a St. Pierre comeback?
I think
that's happening this year.
There's always rumors.
I think for him, apparently he's always in shape, and I have buddies in Montreal that they swing by TriStar sometimes, and apparently when he's there, he's just like a maniac. I think for him, it's probably all money at this point.
He never left the gym, like not for a day.
No, because I mean, like when he was there, he was not only paid a lot of money by the UFC, but he had, you know, Under Armour and Gatorade, and he had all his own sponsors that were giving him millions of dollars. And now they're all sponsored by Reebok, and I think, like, he's not going to come back for a pay cut. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? If
he lives to train. He's one of the nicest guys I've ever met. I like George a lot. When he came out to Thailand, he got off the plane, he went straight to the gym. And it's a long-ass flight to come over here from Canada.
Yeah.
And then get off the plane and then go straight down to the gym and start training immediately.
Was that Tiger Gym?
Yeah, it was. But, I mean, if I have a flight like that, I get off the plane and I don't want to sleep for, like, 3 days. the last thing on my mind is going straight to the gym to start training. He was just so focused. He's just like, okay, I've been resting too long. I got to get to the gym. I got to start working. Very nice guy.
Yeah, the guy was an insane trainer. Like even when he was when he had the belt, he was competing. I was still living in Canada, and he used to compete with all the wrestling team, the Canadian, like the Russian team, and the Canadian Olympic team, the wrestling team. They train in that area, and he competed with them, and he actually he qualified to go to the Olympics. The UFC wouldn't let him when he wanted to go. He went to qualifications, and I guess Dana White was like, no, you can't like be like fucking wrestling like outside of, like, you make us too much money. Like, you can't be, like, you're not fucking leaving. But he was he's a guy who's just a beast. I think I'd like to see him come back, but again,
yeah,
I'd like to see him come back and just have a tune-up fight and then fight Robbie Lawler. I don't want to see him come back and have to work his way up. Like,
yo, look, watching the MMA last night, and I actually, you know, he spat my tea out over the screen when Ariel Wani said that he was at 196 GSP with an eye to fighting Conor McGregor. If McGregor had won that fight, which just sounds ridiculous to me for George St. Pierre to fight McGregor.
The takedowns alone would be just nasty. Like, yo, St. Pierre's a big dude, man. That guy cuts 20 pounds to fight at 170. He walks around at a regular 190, 192. Like, he's a big guy.
He's bigger than me, and I fight heavier than he does.
I was going to say, actually, like, similar type of physique and build to you. You know.
Yeah, he's not small by no means, man.
He looks a little bit bigger than me.
Yeah. No, that would be a shit show.
Yeah, his boxing is on point.
I would laugh my ass off at that fight.
Yeah, would you say laugh your ass off?
I'd watch it just because I think Saint Pierre would just knock him senseless constantly. It would just be an amazing spectacle to watch.
Is he actually wide? He's wider than you in body physique, yeah?
I don't know if he's wider. He just looks a little bit bigger than me when you see the t-shirt, the photo of me and him together. I'm wearing a baggy t-shirt, so it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
I just look fat.
He's a big dude, man.
Yeah, he is.
But I don't know. The only real fight that I really want to see now from him is for him to fight Anderson Silva.
You think they would do that?
I don't think there's anything left in his legacy. I don't think there's anything left in his legacy for him to prove a welterweight. No, that's the thing.
He's beat everybody, and the guys that he beat, a lot of them are still there.
Exactly. So there's no.
When's he going to come and fight Johnny Hendricks again?
I don't see the motivation for him to do that. But the super fight between him and Anderson Silva, that would be the biggest money fight they could put on in the UFC.
Yeah, people would watch that because they wanted to do that back in the day, I remember. But then again, St. Pierre was the champ at welterweight, and I don't think for him at that point in Silva's career when he was the best in the world, I think St. Pierre just knew I'm not doing that. Like,
what about GSP Bisping?
Bisping, to me, St. Pierre is still, like, he's not that far removed. What is he, 2 years removed, and he's probably 32, 33? Like, give me a break. Like, he can still fight. If you give him a tuna fight and then give him Robbie Lawler, but I don't want to see him fight Bisping. I'm with Mike here. I'd like to see him fight, what is that? I'd like to see him fight, like, Anderson Silva. I would pay for that. Like, I'd watch that one.
Cool.
I wanted to see it back in the day, but I think, like, Silva was so far ahead of everybody in the world at that point that I think even Georges St-Pierre knew, like, I'm not going to sit in there and just get fucking tagged, like, on the head by this guy, like, all night long.
But now it would be an interesting fight.
But now it would be, now there's a few losses and Anderson's older. Like, yeah, I mean, now a little bit more of a level playing field probably. Like,
sure, I just wicked him. He's still only 34.
Yeah, he's not old, man. He was he was fighting for a long time. Even I remember in Canada, he used to fight for this UCC, or maybe they changed the name at that point. They were TKO, but we had this Ultimate Combat Challenge, and the UFC had sent one of the Carlos Newton, who was like one of the champs, who had just lost the belt in the UFC at welterweight, to fight in Canada, and his opponent like backed out or something, and then they needed somebody, so they fucking put Georges St-Pierre in there. Was super young at the time, 21, 22, and he just made a fool out of Carlos Newton, who was the number two ranked guy in the world, and that's how he made it to the UFC. He was just like,
oh, wow.
Even at a young age, he was a competitive dude, and he's like, so he was there for a long time, man. He was in the UFC for years. Forever. And, he's still 30, what is he, 34? 33, 34?
And he's gifted in every aspect of fighting.
Yeah, and he works hard, man, and he's explosive as fuck, so he's not only good; he's like just athletic.
So why did he walk? Well, it's still a mystery, is it? Why he just walked away?
I saw an interview with him out of Canada where he just said it was kind of like the pressure. He beat everybody, so pretty much anybody else was either a new guy or a recycled fight. And for him, I think it was like he said, like the pressure to win after being the champ for like 4 years. It just got to him. Like every time he had.
Oh yeah, that's true. Actually, I've seen that where he
had to win, and he said he would leave his house, and people were like, "Oh yeah, you got to win, you got to win, you got to win." And I think he said like 4 years of it was just like he needed a break. Like he just.
I did see an interview where he's like, now he's doing CrossFit and he's doing a bit of it. He's having fun again in the gym, where the fun had gone out of it.
Yeah.
I've heard him say that in a few different interviews that he didn't love it anymore. And now he just loves training again, and he's able to learn things because he wants to, not because he feels he has to. And I also think when I was talking to him when he was over here, all he wanted to talk about was being able to travel different places. I think he lost some of that freedom in his life. I think he was so focused on that he didn't get the chance to go out and do some of the stuff that you normally get to enjoy when you got that kind of money. So I think maybe he wanted to just get out and do some other things for a while.
Because
all the media commitments on top of the camps, promotional work.
And let's face it, he was set. Like sponsored by Nike, Under Armour, and Gatorade. Like he was set. His generations of him are set for life. Like. And yeah. He's not an extravagantly... He's rich, but he doesn't live extravagantly. Like, his house in Montreal is big, but it's not...
Oh, he's the polar opposite to McGregor's philosophy.
Still,
of,
he still
like,
lives out of, like... It's not, like, a crazy house, you know, and for, like, a guy with his amount of money. So, I mean, he's set for money.
You're not going to see him... You're not going to see him posting on Instagram in a three-piece suit bragging about rolling in a Rolls Royce like McGregor.
No, probably not.
Never. He's the polar opposite of that.
Yeah.
Ostentatious, you know, showing off your wealth, which I really respect. I respect that he stays so humble. McGregor talks like he's humble, but if you keep saying you're humble, that kind of negates your humility.
Yeah, me. I think so. I think you can be humble, but if you keep on saying that you're humble, meh.
Yeah,
The thing is, there's nothing wrong with enjoying the nice things in life if you can. Like, if you have that much money and you want to go out and buy stuff on Rodeo Drive, fucking, by all means, have fun. But, like, when you bring it to the press conferences all the time, how much more money you got, at some point, that's going to start to annoy people. Because it just
it's,
does.
It's the, you know? it's the Mayweather philosophy, and he's not well-loved.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the McGregor stuff was kind of was pretty cringy. All the more so in retrospect, saying like you've got no money, dance for me, Nate, dance for me, and like looking back after losing, it's like that is not good to look at. You know?
And at the same time, like some of that stuff, like does he say it just to sell the fight? You know, because he gets being the champ, they get a cut of the pay per view. So
yeah, but can you just say like? So can you just say, after saying all that shit, acting like a complete cunt a lot of the time and just being like, oh, that was just sell the fight, you know, now I'm humble. But can you just say you're humble if you spent the last
You can't have it both ways,
you just
man.
Got beaten up and now you're in the octagon full, like, covered in blood. What else are you going to be? Are you going to be, like, you know, doing the making it rain on top of the octagon after you lost? Of course you're going to act.
Get up after you got choked out, just fucking doing the dollar signs.
Yeah.
Put your
all right, guys.
Watch on.
It's been fun here, but I'm just looking at the time. Maybe should let Mike get back to his work and preparation and stuff.
Mike has.
But cool to have you on again, Mike.
Yeah. Great. It's been good to be here.
Great to have you on. And as always, you're now our glorified MMA correspondent, and it's absolutely no, really, it's a pleasure to have you associated with the podcast.
Yeah,
and,
man, thanks for taking the time.
Me and Mike were talking earlier. We'll be happy to get some nice kind of promotional stuff on our new website, because Mike's working on a whole new page for the Wild Swing and Tangents podcast.
A proper website page. So we'll hook you up with some stuff on there for sure.
Cool, that'd be great. And I'm always happy to help out with anything I can too.
All right, Mike. All right, man. It's been a pleasure again.
Much appreciated, Mike.
We shall hopefully speak soon again. Maybe in the week or something like that, when we see the weight stuff, you know?
Cool.
And all the trash talk starts again. We can talk. Yeah. All right, bro.
All right.
Take it easy.
Peace out, brother.
Cheers, guys. Have a good one.
All the best. All right, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was good. Solid fellow.
Yeah, he's a stud. I mean, that was my surprise, talking about how he trained with George St. Pierre. I was like, damn, you know, did he just say that? That's good.
Cool. Yeah, man, that's... Yeah. I'd like to see George back, man. I'd like to see him fight again.
Mike was based at the biggest gym in Thailand, Tiger, you know, for years. Closed down now, I believe. Tiger is no longer there.
No.
Is it? Am I correct?
I think he said that last time. Yeah, the Tiger Fitness is the Tiger Fitness. Tiger Gym. Tiger Fitness is something.
So that's a place where a lot of top UFC guys go.
Yeah.
On their downtime, just to get some sun in Thailand and do a bit of training. So yeah, it's cool that he...
Get some ladies!
Well, man, if he says he... Yeah, probably a bit of that as well. But if he says GSP is, like, to stand beside Mike, man, he's a beast. So to say he's bigger than him, even the notion of McGregor getting in the same, in the octagon.
The guy's a rock, man. Like, the guy's a fucking one big muscle. just a solid. But I saw an interview with Faraz Ahabi, like his trainer, and he said he's going to be fighting before the end of 2016. And he said he's pretty sure that he was going to. So hopefully, man, I'd like to see him fight. But again, like he's beat a lot of those guys. He's beat Condit. He's beat what's his face? Fucking the guy with the beard, like three times. Johnny Hendricks. I want to see him come back, but I also don't want to see him come back and just fight a recycled fight.
Yeah.
So
just to update you on my Twitter conversation with Renzo Gracie, so he just said he's going to buy the book that I recommended to him.
Nice.
No, it's actually cool.
You know, see, this is where you need a website, because when you do that, you can be like, oh, here's my Amazon link, and then you get 7%.
Ah, yeah.
See? By the way, Henzo, be a brother and use my link when you buy it.
You get 5% off.
No, he doesn't get a discount. He pays the same price, but you get a kickback.
Okay. Okay.
That's Amazon's pretty good, man. I get a few hundred bucks a month from those guys, from people using my link.
So, for real?
Yeah. This month, $267.14. It's not much, but...
Well, oh, is that... That is... That's for what? For what exactly? For
I have a link on my site, and I had a store up there up until like a month and a half ago, because I'm updating it now, and people could shop. There's pretty much a store, but based off Amazon products, so whatever you buy, it charges you the same. You just buy it through my link. So like you would have an Amazon. You can just go sign up as an Amazon affiliate, and you could give your Amazon link away to your family, to friends, to whatever, and they don't pay anything more or less when they use your link, but you get a kickback. So it was on my site. So if people bought, like, say, I don't know, olive oil or a bucket of protein powder, they didn't save any money. But I got, depending how much they bought, I got a kickback from Amazon to send them there. So.
Touché, mec.
Yeah.
You're on top of shit.
All the fucking a little bit goes a long way. Fucking. What was that song? Who sang that? Jessica Simpson. A little bit goes a long, long way. What happened to that girl?
Oh, man,
did you guys have her?
She was hot.
Yeah, I think she got right fat though, didn't she? Is that politically incorrect?
Unfortunately, yeah, like yeah, happens to quite a lot of those pop stars, isn't it?
Yeah.
Britney's
cake,
back in
cake is a motherfucker. Was that? Oh, I think you know what happened,
Britney's
Jessica Simpson. I think she had that reality show. I remember she had that show on TV with her and her husband. And at the time, everybody thought her husband was a douche before the show came on. And I was dating this girl, Andy. Fucking, she was watching the show. And turns out this guy was pretty smart. And Jessica Simpson was just some dumb broad. Like, she was so dumb on the show that I think like, people start to relate to this guy and be like, why is he with her? He's not that bad, actually. You know?
Yeah,
and she was just so...
Pretty cool, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was all right, man. She would give him shit and stuff. And people were like... Because he was in this boy band, so people just automatically assumed that he was a dick. And it turns out he was all right, and then she was, like, just so dumb. And now he's married to some hot broad, and she's a big girl, so...
Oh, they finished it?
I think so, yeah. I think he's married to somebody else. I'm horrible with pop star names. Like, I don't know. I couldn't tell you his name. He was in the band in the 90s, though, or early 2000s.
I did not think we'd be getting on to Jessica Simpson after talking UFC, but there you go. That's
there
a swing.
We go. That's
a swinging tangent. Swinging tangent right there.
Fucking Jenny. Right, there you go. I looked it up. Jenny, she's on the Weight Watchers thing, so... There you go.
Okay.
Good for her.
All right, Mike, just looking at time, perhaps it's time to wrap, put a fork in this and wrap it up.
There we go. Put a fork in it and wrap it up. No, that doesn't work. You can wrap it up or you can put a fork in it. You can't do both.
You can't do both. All right.
But all right.
Wrap it.
Let's close her off. I'll let you do the honors. You got a better voice.
All right, everybody, so thanks for coming along and listening once again to episode 8 of the Wild Swinging Tangents podcast, which you can check out on iTunes, SoundCloud, and what's the other one?
Stitcher.com, if that's even a real website, but it's on
Stitcher.com.
There.
Okay.
No offense to Stitcher, if you want to sponsor us, we're open, but...
Mike is working on our new site, which will be dropping in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Hopefully a week and a half will be all done. I'm having free time now before I fly back to the frozen tundra of home, so it should be before I go back, before the 9th, it'll be up and going for sure.
Awesome. Okay, So
you can follow Paul on Twitter at Paul_Morsi, 2 R's, 2 S's, and you can follow me on Twitter at Holistic Caveman, and check out my site, holisticcaveman.com. And that's it. We are out.
Oh, no. Check me out.
Oh, what's your vlog page? You have a...
No, I'm just joking. Like, we're
no, it's true. No.
No, I'm joking.
No, tell people where to go.
Yeah, for sure, man. I'm vlogging on YouTube, of course. Vlogging mostly on soccer, football, Spanish football, Champions League. Basically because it's more fun than riding. and you get to experiment with a few different types of jokes and stuff that you can't put into writing form. I'm also trying out a few impressions and a few skits and things like that. So maybe looking at doing McGregor and a few other football people like Jose Mourinho, Louis van Gaal, people like that. So feel free to check it out. You'll find it through pinned on my Twitter page. It's Paul Morrissey on Twitter. On YouTube.
Check Paul out. It's a proper good channel. I'll vouch for that.
Mike is also getting on YouTube these days, doing cool, healthy lifestyle videos. And so yeah, check them out too. Holistic Caveman on YouTube.
Holistic Caveman on YouTube. In the next video, if I do decide to put this one up, which I'm not sure, you can see me having a fight with a German fellow at Taipei Gate.
You serious?
Yeah, I'm not even joking. Shove them into the motorbikes. But that's for another podcast. Was that? Oh, you stole my mangoes, the cocksucker. Off my bike.
Who recorded?
No, I'm not even joking with you. I parked the bike. You know, in Thailand, and sorry, tried to close the show, but now I'm going to segue into something because this fucking burnt my ass. You know, in Thailand, nobody takes your helmet, right? You can always tell a tourist in Thailand because they're carrying their helmet. People leave their helmet on the bike. You leave your shit on the bike if you're not going far. And for the most part, the Thais, I'm not going to say they never would steal from you, but for the most part, they're fucking honest people. They don't steal from you if you leave your fucking mangoes on your motorbike. Well,
for sure.
I left my mangoes on my motorbike, and I was at Taipei Gate, where you and I met, actually, at that juice stand. And a couple of gay people would meet. Hey, we met at that juice stand, boys. But where'd you guys meet? We were sharing juices. But there goes our gay listeners dropping. But
uh-oh.
It's okay. I can offend everybody. I don't mind. I offend people all the time. But no, so this guy walks up. He's parked next to my motorbike. And fucking takes my mangoes off my bike, and I'm sitting there having my juice, and I'm like, that looks like my bike. I'm like, that is my bike. So I fucking ran up, and I gave him the old chevaroo, man, and then he fucking went flying into the other parked motorbikes, and the motorbikes kind of went like, doop, 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 like a fucking bunch of dominoes with this guy fucking falling.
Stealing your fucking mangoes.
My mangoes, man. It's 3 kilos of mangoes. That's fucking 90 baht. Like $3. Who steals mangoes? And strawberries.
So without saying anything, you just pushed them over the bike?
No, I just fucking ran up and fucking shoved them, cocksucker. I had no pity. If he had been a Thai person, I would have had pity on him, because I'm living in this country and I don't want to offend anybody, and I would have been like, hey, yo, like, if you really need the mangoes and you're hungry, you can have them, but please don't fucking steal my shit, you know? Ask me and I'll give them to you. But no.
What was he, like an older dude or a kid? Or
no, he's older than me, but I wouldn't call him an old dude. 40, maybe.
Okay.
So I'm 34. He was older than me, but like, come on, man. Stealing fucking mangoes. From a kid, I would accept that.
Did you say you've got a video of this?
Yes!
Hell though. You took out your phone and recorded
it? No, I couldn't fucking have my camera on it, so I just fucking... I was recording while I was there, and I just put it on the counter, and I aimed it that way.
Oh, right. Okay, now I understand.
Because I couldn't run at him with my fucking selfie stick. Fucking give him a good... Give him the old swinging tangent right in the head.
Oh, that would have been hilarious if you took your phone out and
fucking
at him.
Bing. But the...
Go push.
No, man, I just shoved him right into the bikes, and I took my... I lost it on him. Didn't punch him or kick him or anything after that. I fucking let him know, and he went on his fucking way. I told him off, but, like, I didn't want to get into a fight, and I think a bunch of people there, tourists, and upset the Thai society, throw off the fucking planetary balance of Thailand, but I was some aggravated.
Sounds like it, yeah.
Who steals mangoes, man? Who steals, for that matter? But, like, come on, man. Mangoes. Yeah. And the worst part is he just took the mangoes and the strawberries and he left the good shit. Like, I had other stuff there. I mean, if you're going to take it all. Fucking horrible thief.
Hold on. Anyway. Why is the world coming to you? You can't leave your mangoes lying around on your bike anymore.
Yeah, I know. But you know what's funny? It's like half the time I forget my iPhone and my bike and nobody ever takes it. Like, I just...
Shit.
And they probably would take it if they knew it was there, but if they could lift it.
Yeah, I need food in the helmet. Like, just if I have fruit or whatever, I'll just leave it there without even thinking about it.
Yeah, it's just small stuff, right? You just don't think of it. I mean, I wouldn't normally leave my phone there on purpose. I forget it by accident. But, like, yeah, the mangoes. Come on, man. Yeah, we had a little... I had a little event that day, so I was okay about half an hour after that. But like I was
post that shit up. Post it up.
I was fucking aggravated, bro. Like
post it, man. That'd be funny to see.
I should. I should. I'll put that up this week sometime. After my next vlog's up, I'll put that up. I try to have a channel where, like, you know, I keep people zen and happy, and here I am fucking throwing Russians around or Germans around. But he was German, not Russian. Yeah, I know there's a difference. I know there's a difference. Just it doesn't matter where he was from. I'm just trying to say he wasn't Thai. So
was Dennis Siver?
Was that?
He's Russian. He's half Russian, half German, isn't he?
I don't know. Is he?
Yeah, he's born in Russia and grew up in Germany.
Okay, I didn't know. I think out of all the podcasts in the world, we're the worst at closing the show. We've never closed the show, and I kept talking. Ow.
Yeah, that was you that time. That was you that time.
That's generally me, probably. I'm just saying.
All right, so what's left to wrap up? Check us out on all the formats, all the platforms.
Subscribe on all devices, two or three devices. Leave a review, 5-star preferably. If your mom's got an iPad or an iPhone, just take that from her and subscribe, will you? She'll like the show.
Yeah, and like you say, always a comment is always good, be it good or bad, because in terms of rankings, you know, we're a nascent growing podcast. You know, it's going to take time for us to really make a dent in the universe, so we're going to need all the rankings and comments and shit that we can get.
It would be much appreciated, people.
All right, man.
All right, brother.
Sign it up. Come cap for another cool chat and podcast.
And see you guys next time.